This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Picture this. This is the Super Bowl. Your team has cheated their way all the way through. They were piss poor during the regular season. They complained to the refs. They bitched. They moaned. Then they started to get the calls. Once she showed up, and she and her fans got to experience the best football season a fan can experience when just latching on to a team of all time. Imagine that. Imagine you say you're going to get into a sport, and you say, I'm going to pick this team because my favorite singer is dating one of the players on that team.
Hey, it's 1990, and my favorite singer is dating Jim Kelly of the Buffalo Bills.
My favorite singer, Amy Grant,
is dating Jim Kelly. Should I become a Bills fan in 1990? What could go wrong?
But it wasn't like that. It was like, hey, it's 1979, and my favorite singer, Donna Summer, is dating Mean Joe Green. I think I'm going to be a fan of these Pittsburgh Steelers. They won in 79, right?
Yeah. And 80, I think.
Well, not unlike me. My favorite singer, of course, everyone knows. Ciara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got to enjoy the heyday of the Legion of Boom.
Yeah. Before they got together.
Well, you could feel it coming from a mile away. Have you actually listened to the songs?
Yeah.
Which I do. The lyrics were kind of telegraphing. Yeah.
There was a lot of lyrics about a mysterious, handsome man who was undersized for his position but had grit.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew who that was.
He didn't quite get along with his teammates.
Yeah. Kind of off-putting. Remember her song about transferring from NC State to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
That should have been the
giveaway.
That was
called 1-2-step. Because he made the 1-2-step up to Wisconsin.
Badger from now on.
Goodies was about his penis.
That's true.
But all of this, and on the day, this day, where you get to gloat, the last day you get to gloat, tell me how wrong I was. Tell Greg how wrong he was. Tell us how we were messed up for not wanting the Chiefs to win. You're not here. And therefore, it's Fuck the Chiefs Day.
I mean, as we have a policy with these episode titles, and we haven't talked about it on the air yet, but there is a policy. If one person vetoes the title or just vetoes the spirit of the episode, we won't do it.
Yeah.
It just takes one veto. Now, Carl, I assume you're not vetoing.
I am not.
I'm not going to veto. Sean?
I've elected not to veto.
Okay, Ryan. The title. Ryan, do you want to veto Fuck the Chiefs Day?
It's your last chance, Ryan.
I don't hear nobody.
Crickets.
Because Ryan Meharry is not here. He ate too much Arthur Bryant's barbecue, and he is in a food coma.
Yeah, and we're not saying that lightly. It is it's been medically deemed a food coma.
Yeah, mm-hmm. His brain is now full of barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm. No, Casey, he's breathing with the assistance of a machine.
Yeah, he's on full life support. He's on cholesterol support.
And get well soon, but...
Get well soon. I don't want to seem like we're mocking the guy.
Get well soon.
No, obviously I hope that he gets well soon. I mean, not that soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for not you. Soon enough for you to like, when he, if he shows up right now, you got to leave because y'all can't be here together.
No, come on. Yeah. Only give me nights. A little bit of breathing room, please.
But yeah. Get no, well I soon.
Say breathing. He's got that machine helping him.
Yeah.
And I don't wish injury on anybody except for when Chase Young is chasing down Patrick Mahomes, and I'm hoping that he literally breaks every tendon in his legs.
Okay, so that's one big, pretty big injury.
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, I don't wish injury on nobody.
No. Or barbecue poisoning.
Or barbecue poisoning, except when Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift go out to eat after the game, and the only place that is open is Lucille's, and the meat is very undercooked. The pork that they get is very undercooked, and they both get the same thing that Ryan has right now.
So you don't wish anything bad on anyone except for injury on Mahomes and barbecue poisoning on Kelce and Taylor Swift and Ryan, and or Ryan. No?
I didn't wish it on him.
Okay.
Yeah. I hoped it.
Okay.
You're on record saying that you hope that Taylor Swift gets barbecue poisoning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't understand why this show's not do a bigger number than that.
I mean, come on, man.
Are we not? Are we not?
Come on.
This seems to be the kind of thing that's popular right now.
To be clear, he said he hoped Ryan got it and he wished Taylor and Travis got it.
That's two different
things. So that's different.
What's the difference between a hope and a wish?
Well, he's only recently come upon a hoping well, and he threw, so the wishes, I don't know if they're going to come true, but he did throw a coin in a hoping well and hope that Ryan would get barbecue poisoning.
Hoping in a hoping well, kiss and tell. It was 1990, and my favorite player was dating Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Who was that player? Finally tell us.
I'm not in the business of outing people.
Who was dating TTD?
I threw a hope in a well. Anyway, call me maybe.
okay.
We got the Clem Dog joining us today to talk a little football.
Clem Dog's up in this piece. Probably what's up, brothers?
The biggest example of not needing an introduction, because if you listen to this podcast, I think you know who Sean Clements is.
Clem Dog, how did you spend your Super Bowl Sunday? We can all talk about how we spent our Super Bowl Sundays, because I had a pretty fun one.
Super Bowl Sunday. So I watched at home. Now, the past couple Super Bowls, because I have kids, I haven't seen much of the game. The kids, especially on the weekend, are pretty demanding. But this one, I watched a lot of it. It was on. They were in and out of the room watching with me. Sometimes my son would ask to like go like play basketball in the driveway or something, but I could still like run in and out. And so I saw a lot of the game. We ordered pizza from Triple Beam.
Nice.
Triple Beam.
Yeah, I like their pizza.
They don't do a cornmeal crust.
No.
That was at Two Boots. Which one was the one that was next door to Echoplex? They did a corn. And there was also one next door to UCB East in New York in East Village.
Two Boots.
That's Two Boots. Yeah. They do a cornmeal crust.
Is there a Triple Beam near you, too? Because there's one in Highland Park, but surely you didn't order all the way from there. I don't want to dox you by giving out the neighborhood.
I ordered it.
You live in the Los Feliz Murder House, correct?
Yes. I live the La Bianca.
Yeah.
So I ordered off of, you know, DoorDash or whatever, and I don't even look at the address. I don't know where it came from.
Flex.
I just know that it came. I pre-ordered it. I ordered it ahead of the day before. Said I'd like it to arrive around kickoff time. And we ate pizza and made a house for bugs out of clay while we watched, but was allowed to watch a lot of the game. Really was enjoying it. Had to pause once or twice to do other things. I actually, the last quarter into overtime ended up colliding with having to do like bath time, bedtime books. And so I had it paused. But it was kind of nice because then like that whole like really tense and exciting period, the kids were in bed and I could just watch like undisturbed. Yeah. So I had a really nice watching experience. I did bet on the Chiefs money line when they were +2. And so I put some money on that and never in doubt, right?
Yeah.
Phew. But
Well, now, you said never in doubt, but then you made a big phew gesture, which sort of implies doubt.
No, I was always confident.
Sean, you're going to wreck your shirt.
Yeah.
You're going to wreck the collar of your shirt.
Yeah, no, I was actually, I knew it was good the whole way. Gulp. But
do you need a seltzer? Do you need a drink of your seltzer? It seems like you have gas.
I would take one.
Yeah.
I would take one. But I enjoyed the game. I mean, I didn't particularly want either team to win. I did realize, so my wife is from the Bay Area. She doesn't have like a huge investment in the NFL, but so many of her friends and stuff are like diehard Niners gang. And as she was watching the game, she felt an awakening of her fandom for that team. So I didn't mention that I had put money on the game, because I hide things from my wife, but also because I didn't want to be rooting against, because I was like, oh, you actually care. I didn't care. Like,
you don't want to snuff that out. You don't want to.
I was like, oh, good. This is a win-win for me, because yeah. I'll be happy for her if they win. And Blake Anderson also is a huge Niners fan, and so I'm always happy for him when the Bay Area teams win. Brett Morris, engineer Brett.
Brett Morris.
I know
some
people who love the team, and so I was like, okay, that's fine. But I had wanted, you know, I would have loved to fucking see the Lions. I
mean, yeah,
Lions and Ravens, of course, we talk about, that's who we wanted here.
Placing the bet, it was like, I did feel like the Lions, and I'm sure you guys talked about this, but it felt like they could have and maybe should have won their game.
So man, they were up like, 24-7
so
at halftime.
When the Niners were favored, I just thought, I can't bet against Patrick Mahomes. And I'll give my little piece about Patrick Mahomes now and my thing to say, which is, with all the caveats of, I know people will hate this. I know people hate me, hate the Patriots, hate Boston fandom. When I was rooting for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots during their run, I had a moment, and I watched most Super Bowls at home by myself, honestly. During the Atlanta game, when they came back from 28-3, I was, you know, holy fuck, they're losing so bad, but I'm not going to turn the game off. And as they started to come back, and it was like, okay, they need like two touchdowns and a two-point conversion both times to get there. And I had this like wave of calm come over me. And I was like, he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady's going to do it. Like when they were going for two, of course I had some nervousness and some tension because I wanted it so bad. But I also had this faith, this belief, and this, you know, sort of truly emotional feeling that is like part of like why we get involved in sports, where I was like, This thing I care about, this thing I'm invested in, whether it's stupid or not, this man is not going to let me down. He's going to do it. And nothing ever feels that way. And I feel that way about Mahomes now. Not that I want him to win, but when I'm just like, he's gonna do it.
Yeah.
It's rare that athletes reach that space.
Yeah. I mean,
there's guys that are scary where it's like, that's scary, they might do it. But it's rare that you're just like, they're gonna fucking do it.
Yeah, and Mahomes is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was sitting with Phil. We were sitting at a big table of people, but Phil was across me. He goes, Mahomes, I was like, they left too much time on the clock. They left too much time on the clock. And Phil looks at me, he goes, Mahomes gonna throw a pick six right now. And I said, Phil, no, he's not.
Yeah.
That is one thing that he is not gonna do.
He's not. No, because he's gonna do it.
He's changed his style of play in the last couple of years to be much more conservative. And like, I think that pick that he did throw in the game,
yeah,
which I honestly couldn't tell if that was overthrown for the one guy or underthrown for the other. It was an uncharacteristically bad play, but it was like the first pick he'd thrown in an absurd amount of playoff attempts.
Yeah,
and yeah, I think you're right. The one thing he wasn't going to do was not take care of the ball.
No. It was over at that moment. It was over, and then you saw them lining up for the play that they've scored on. So many times, you like, look at Mecole Hardman right there. Like, he's going to do a little button hook kind of out.
And I mean, all their touchdowns last year in the Super Bowl were little plays like that to like Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. They were like 1 yard passes. Right?
Well, it also, and it does feel a little bit like those Patriots teams where it's like these guys he's throwing to are not superstars if they're on another team. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the like James White or whatever of the Patriots and versus like whoever, like Valdez-Scantling and Hardman like can't even play on other teams, and then Mahomes has them catching touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
Only Tyreek and Kelce have been actually good players that he's got.
Yeah,
I mean, like
Kelce is incredible. Obviously,
and their defensive have also been
their defense is great now. Yeah, that's
same
the
with
big
Patriots.
Thing. That's
Patriot no defense was spectacular.
They're making a Patriot-esque thing.
Yeah. It was like, interesting, yeah, because their secondary was incredible, which I don't even think I realized prior to the playoffs.
Well, and Snead then, and McDuffie. Snead had the dumb penalty, but other than that, those two guys were like all
McDuffie
pros.
Was crazy, yeah. Yeah, crazy. That one play where he rushed the quarterback. Like, oh, it was like,
and the pass breakup by the goalpost.
Oh God, like, yeah, where he batted it away. But also he like when he got to Purdy and the way that he had like taken a step back right before the snap and then just had that totally clean line. That was awesome. No, those guys were great, and it was interesting watching them go back and forth because both defenses were great, and the Niners like. Front seven and like pass rush is so good, and then the Chiefs like secondary is so good, so it's like it's just interesting to watch. Like it looked very different on each side, but it was both like, oh, they can't really make a lot of progress, like it's a low scoring game.
It felt like even for a low scoring game it was entertaining. It's, you know how like sometimes a 2-0 baseball game can be brutal, but sometimes it can be nerve-wracking and tense, and like because it felt like it wasn't just the offenses sucking, it was the defenses playing well.
It was the defenses stopping very good play.
Chris
like
Jones
obviously
was...
the fucking 49ers have like so many weapons. Like you just look at that, it's like, oh, McCaffrey's like the best running back in the league, but then also Kittle's like the third best tight end, mm-hmm. and also like Debo and Ayuk or whatever are like two of the scariest receivers, like both like top.
You could make a case that they're both top 10.
Top 10. It's like, oh, this is nuts.
Trent, I mean, like they have one of the best tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the defense and it's like Chase Young, Nick Bosa, Armstead.
Yeah.
These are all guys who aren't the captain of their defense.
Yeah.
That's Fred Warner.
Yeah, Fred Warner.
Like those, they have three guys who would be captains on most teams.
Well, and you see like the thing that shows you how good the Chiefs secondary is that fucking Juwan Jennings is like the only one busting loose for plays on the 40, because it's like, oh, all those stars we mentioned who are like superstars are getting totally fucking bottled up.
I mean, Debo did next to nothing.
Yeah.
Ayuk had a couple catches, but Debo really, did he have any big plays?
Not a ton. McDuffie shut down a lot of his shit, and which was like, those are times I'm in this bar, and of course there's Chiefs fans in there, so of course I'm gonna yell PI. And then you watch the replay and go, "That was the cleanest breakup I've ever seen in my life." Like just fucking clean. Like
he was good,
not
man.
Touching him, and just like crazy.
What did you think about that hold that like bailed out the Niners in overtime? That it was like, it's always funny to me, the announcers go, "Oh, there's no question about that." Like that was, and I was like, "Is there
it
not?"
Wasn't, like, he didn't grab, but it's like.
He just had his arm like around him a little bit, but
in
they
hockey
were
they
just...
call hooking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he kind of hooked him with his arm. He
interesting
didn't grab.
Call, interesting call for sure. I would say that, of course, the Chiefs O line holds so much, so it's like, and they don't.
Well,
get the
I mean, it is
it.
One of the right. They could call holding every single play if they want.
I wasn't
on
mad,
side, that... but it was. I was just like surprised that it was
treated.
It's just a funny thing that it was treated as so definitive.
Agree.
Where it's like, I, you know, sometimes the announcers will go, I don't know, on this stage, in this moment, like, do I make that call? It could go either way. But they were like, that's an easy one. I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm looking at ever. Because it did look like, a coin flip.
I mean, for all the stuff at the end of the game, I also feel like the Niners kind of lost it in the first, like, 20 minutes. Like, they dominated the first like 20 minutes and they just didn't build up.
They didn't build on that momentum.
They should have been up like 21-0.
Yeah.
That like Biff like punt, the like fumbling the, well, it bounced off the guy's foot.
So it wasn't
McCloud's
fault. But you could argue that he should have fallen on the ball instead of trying to pick it up. But
how unlucky was that?
That was
That's the beauty of the game.
That's the Super Bowl. That's a team like the Chiefs where you're just like, it just seems to go their way.
Yeah, just that's what,
again,
that, when you watch
as somebody
play,
who rooted
go,
for the Pats,
yeah.
They had the two unlucky things with the Giants for the most part of the Super Bowl. There'd be, or on their playoff run to the Super Bowl,
yeah.
There'd be something where you're like, the D Ford offsides call or the, you
the
know,
Tuck
some
rule
weird,
all the way back to that.
Yep,
you
go
know,
like, that just went, the call went their way or the fucking ball bounced the right way.
I mean, I, you know, I'm
the fucking
frankly,
Seattle interception.
Yeah.
Oh my
Butler.
Gosh. That was heartbreaking.
I was on stage during that.
I watch it a
I
lot.
Walked on stage thinking the Seahawks had it in the yeah. bag and came off going, what?
I Dude, watch it so much.
I
my Marshawn, TikTok algorithm sends it to me like once a day where it's like, here's another person
Richard,
talking about it.
Oh, Richard Sherman's reaction to it is so sad.
Yeah, it was terrible, bro. I was at Barney's and the Patriots fans that would come in there were all obviously awful.
Yeah.
And that day they were fucking quiet. Oh, and it just everybody in the bar was like, yes, you motherfuckers. Because it was like the one section of Patriots fans and everybody else in the room was just rooting for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Most of the people in there, Raiders fans, other fans of other teams.
Yeah, but that was a beloved team.
Yeah, that day it was like we all like we want Marshawn to do it.
Yeah.
And the Patriots fans were quiet the whole time. Cause they would come in every week. Like they were regulars. They would come in, they would rent out the little, there was like a big screen TV in the back with two couches, and they would just rent out back there, and they would order a bunch. Because
when you say Barney's, you mean you were at Barney Frank's, the politician from Massachusetts.
Yeah. I was.
Which I'm surprised there weren't more Patriots fans there.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be more.
I was working at his house for very little money. No, I'm just playing. it was a... they were like quiet the whole time and everybody's like, yes, finally these motherfuckers shut up, because they were obnoxious every week.
Yeah.
And then that fucking play happened. It was just like everybody just deflated. It was such a hard night to work. Like so many people left like right after.
Yeah.
The opposite of that for me was, were you at the Inner Sanctum at UCB Sunset watching the Eagles Patriots Super Bowl, the Nick Foles game?
No. I watched from home because I went and played basketball that day.
Oh.
And I watched from home.
It was a grand old time that day. Yeah. It is. But look, it's a compliment to the Patriots. The Patriots,
yeah.
And now the Chiefs, I think, have solidified it with another win, have played themselves into the place where when you make a big game, it's you versus the world. And no one who's not.
Yeah, the Chiefs are a little different because they're like a Midwest team. And I think that like Boston has its own
Coastal,
group of like,
yeah.
There's just a hatred for Boston anyway. Like, and their sports teams that like whatever, even what like, you know, the fucking Red Sox, the Celtics too, and everything, like it's just like people don't like them. But I think the Chiefs are now their front runners.
Yeah.
And so they're villains. The same way the Warriors became that in basketball. Where
yeah.
It's just like
you gotta play yourself to get to that stage.
Root against them. But
how have the Lakers managed to avoid that?
That they're just like beloved.
Yeah.
I don't think that they have. I think you only feel that way because you live in LA.
Sure.
Because
maybe.
You live in LA and you like the Clippers.
Yeah.
So that is a special. There is.
Just
some,
when I travel with Clipper shit on, I get shit. And I'm like, bro, I'm in fucking.
Here's part of it. I think the original Lakers dynasty that was beloved was like such a fun team. Like it was Magic Johnson and shit.
Kareem.
And like he was the face of it. And that the backlash didn't exist as much because it was a star that people felt so connected to. And like, I think that was part of it. Like,
And they sowed some fans all across the country. So wherever you go, I think there will be Lakers fans, just like there will be Bulls fans, there will be Cowboys fans, Yankee fans. But I do think like, anyone who's not explicitly a Lakers fan in all those places doesn't like the Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, when I came here, literally my thought process was like, I never really had an NBA team to pull for, but obviously I can't root for the Lakers. Because this is 2010. They had just won 5 rings in a decade. And I was like, they were like the Yankees to me. I was like, no matter what, you can never just become a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
And I think that is what a lot of people feel.
You know, Wave Segal.
I do. He was on
he became
my,
a Lakers
did
fan.
Did he?
Yeah.
He was on my team that I was on stage with during that Super Bowl, actually. And George Barber was on the team, too, and he was a Patriots fan, and he missed the Patriots winning the Super Bowl to do a mess hall show, which, in retrospect, I'm
it's
sure
hilarious.
He would love to have back.
That's so funny, man. Yeah, Wade, one day he was wearing Lakers shit, and I go, Wade, are you from L.A.? He goes, nah. I go, what is all of this? Like, and it was like a game day. Now, you know me, I'm all about wearing team gear for fashion. I got plenty of teams shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got Laker jerseys. But when I saw him in it, I go, he doesn't do that. He doesn't participate.
I didn't even know he likes sports.
Exactly. And he goes, he was like, yeah, I became a Laker fan. And I was like, you don't just move here and become a Laker fan, dude. That's not what you do. And he goes, well, you know, it was the year that they were bad. I go, it doesn't matter if they went 0-82, bro.
Yeah.
They're still never going to be an underdog. They're never going to be like, I don't think the Chiefs, I think this year, especially with the Taylor Swift added shit, they have now become the same as the Patriots, in my opinion.
Here's the other thing. Kids like teams that win.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about when I was growing up, the Bulls, obviously probably adult sports fans all over the country hated the Bulls.
Yeah.
But everyone I knew who was my age, that was their favorite team.
I wonder. I know in Mississippi, people love the Bulls.
Yeah.
That was like, because there was no Hornets at that time. The nearest basketball team was the Atlanta Hawks, which have never been a popular team.
Yeah.
Like most people I know from Atlanta are Lakers fans.
But what I'm saying is, yeah, the generation of like those winning those Kobe and Shaq Lakers, like those are adults now, and those people liked those teams with no, like, all over the country kids were liking those Lakers teams without any sort of like, I shouldn't root for them because they're winner. It's like, no, I'm gonna root for the team's gonna win.
Yeah, you
know? And also like George, I also think part of it was like, not that, I mean, basketball has probably been the most dominated sport historically from, like, Bill Russell through, like, you know, everyone. So it's not like no one had ever seen someone dominate like MJ did. But he was a guard. Not that he's not a tall man. He's, like, 6'6". But, like, he wasn't a fucking freak like everyone who would dominate. Even Magic as a point guard is, like, 6'10". Like, they were all, like, 7-foot guys, and now it was like, oh, this guy's dominated by like driving from, you know, like he wasn't just a post up guy, and it was like, oh, it felt like something that was attainable. Foolish.
No, well, that's the Steph thing too, right?
Where it's totally. Like,
yeah. Oh, super with Steph. I would get in conversations mostly. This would really get on my nerves. Mostly with women who would always be like, I don't like LeBron. LeBron's too cocky. Steph's not cocky. I was like, oh, the guy who, as soon as the ball leaves his hands, he turns around and shimmies. That's not cocky. Like, what are you talking about? Like, they just liked him because he was baby-faced.
The
mouth guard thing.
Which, can we talk? Mahomes is doing that now. Yeah.
Is he? Wow.
What is the correlation between oral fixation and athletic dominance? Because I have one, but I'm just chewing toothpicks at work. I'm not fucking winning titles.
What kind of toothpicks are you doing? The tea tree oil
They got
ones?
The tea tree oil ones, but they were there ones, before our show started, and so they're all like dried out, and they don't give me the lip tingle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to like those tea tree oil ones. I haven't done it in a while.
Did you quit smoking at one point?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll get you on the tea tree oil ones. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was about to say, what are y'all talking about?
So someone was breastfed the right amount. Embarrassing. Doesn't even have an oral fixation.
Breastfed the right amount.
just right.
I wasn't breastfed at all. My mom was 17.
All right, brag. Another brag.
Okay.
I think I was raised by, I mean, the Saints being my strongest allegiance of all time, like, because it's the oldest one, it's from birth, and
sure,
they taught me, like, my family. I remember having conversations with my uncle who put me on the Saints and put me on the Braves. It was just like, you root for the underdog because it feels good when they finally win. And when the Saints finally won, even though that's kind of our hometown team, but like, honestly, it ain't really a hometown team because they were bad all those years. So everybody roots for the Cowboys. Like my
really in that area. Well, I guess you're not actually in New Orleans. You're in Mississippi.
No, I'm in Mississippi. So
I see,
and we're close to New Orleans. We're an hour and 20 minutes away from New Orleans. But most people, there are a lot of Saints fans. But that has been in the years since the Super Bowl, in which we've always been somewhat of a contender, or at least like a playoff. Fringe playoff team, you know. It ain't like it was in the 80s when we were going 1-15 every year.
Yeah.
And people called them the Aints and wore the paper bags in their heads and stuff like that. It is a lot of city pride in New Orleans, but like, think about Lil Wayne. Probably the most popular figure from New Orleans ever, besides Louis Armstrong.
Like, yeah.
And he's a Green Bay Packers fan.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He's a huge Packers fan. He's not a Saints guy. Like, And he, of course, he would wear a Saints jersey and talk about him in songs, though, because it's just New Orleans pride. Mm-hmm. But nah, he's a Packer fan. He was a Brett Favre guy in the 90s when they went on Reggie White.
Ohio people, it drove them endlessly crazy when LeBron would be like a Yankees fan. Like,
yeah.
Like during the like runs of Cleveland baseball being good, when LeBron was like, I mean, he would go support the Cleveland, the pre-Guardians.
Yeah.
But he.
You can say it.
Oh, God. And we want Taylor Swift to be poisoned.
Yeah. Should we talk about the Taylor and Travis thing? Are you guys going to talk about that at all?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
It's a funny one of these, like, you know, cultural moments where, like, I feel like the thing I saw people posting the most afterwards was, like, an image of them kissing and being like, this moment was incredible. And if you don't like it, just keep your mouth shut. And I was like, I'm not seeing anyone not liking it.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's responding to a backlash that I don't know about. And the other thing was, he shoved Andy Reid.
Yeah, he went crazy.
And when that happened, I was like, on both the end of game drive and the overtime drive, I was like, Travis Kelce needs to catch the game-winning touchdown. He needs to catch it so that the end of the game, the story is... And then he won the game. Now, he got the first down that got them into the... Like, he made some good plays, but I was like, he needs to do that. Like, so that the narrative is correct. And then he did it. And then he sang Viva Las Vegas. And, like...
I saw a lot of moment people...
that gave me the ick.
Okay. I saw a lot of people posting
Patrick,
that.
Patrick McDonald, not Patrick Mahomes, a good buddy, Patrick McDonald, posted a very funny TikTok today being like... Right after the game, he was like, he sang Viva Las Vegas. I don't want to see the ick bullshit. Like, let him celebrate. We have put up with y'all Taylor Swift shit. Let men have something. Like, honestly. And I'm in total agreement with that. Like, he just won the fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, okay? Like, she said karma is a guy on the Chiefs. That gives me an ick.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? like
you absolutely can have the ick from that. Also, a lot of people have won the Super Bowl and not sang a... cringeworthy rendition of a song about the city that's like somewhat separated.
Most cities don't have songs like that you can sing. And what are they going to do, Will Smith Miami, if they win in Miami?
I would like that better.
Every Dodgers game that they win ends with them playing a song by Randy Newman called I Love LA that if you listen to any lyric is the most obviously sarcastic song ever about how a city sucks.
Did you like Travis on the mic, like,
I didn't
in
see
that
it.
Moment?
I didn't see it. I was at a bar in Playa Del Rey called Moe's, and as soon as the game was over, this guy comes out dressed in a complete Moe Sizzlack costume and raffles shit off. And I won a patio heater, which I gave to a lady who has a patio, and I won a sex doll.
which I didn't give to anybody.
Which I kept for myself.
Disney's generally like him. Like, I think he's like charming. I like the podcast clips I've seen of him and his brother. He was doing so much. What did you think? It was as if he was like trying to be like a pro wrestler. Like it was like a weird thing to me. The Viva Las Vegas and then just like the like screaming. And it was like, you just saw, like, you're the third person to get the microphone. Everybody's being kind of normal.
Yeah.
It felt like a lot to me. And it was like, I don't care about the ick thing, but I am watching this woman who is like the most media savvy, calculated superstar in history,
not
as far
anything.
As I know. and she is standing there and knows the cameras are on her, and I'm like, this is an uncomfortable position.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's a little bit of a wild card, and that doesn't really fit with her whole thing.
Now, that's when I go, I'm Team Kelce in that situation.
Uh-huh.
Like, fuck her. Like, she just came around. Like, she can do her thing. Like, she is a superstar. She's much bigger than he is and stuff. But in this moment, he's allowed to celebrate how he wants to. He's a party boy. He is the wild card, like you're saying. Like, I don't think he has to worry about... I think it's unfair that he has to worry about what she got going on. I was looking at Ice Spice in that booth with them, and I was like, man, Ice Spice just wants to eat a couple chicken fingers. Like, she's so hungry and she can't eat nothing because the camera could be on at any time. Like,
it's got to be tough. I mean, do you think that Taylor's look in that moment was like Mike Myers standing next to Kanye?
Because
also Kanye was like, right in that moment. Now he's been wrong about a lot of other things, but he was right in that moment.
Yeah.
But I understand why Mike Myers was uncomfortable.
It seemed like she was probably a little uncomfortable. It seemed like, okay. I mean, he had also just shoved his coach.
Let's talk about
so I feel like that was some, crazy. Like, I think there's some like, hey man, like, just be cool for a minute. And it's like, okay, yeah, I guess she just showed up, but also he's willingly participating in this machine. He wants to use this to make himself more visible 100%. So that he has a post-football career. She wants to use this to appeal to another fan base. Like, we're in a little bit, we are in a commercial enterprise here.
100%.
Can you protect the business a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
I'm doing a lot.
Yeah.
Can you fucking take a deep breath?
I get what you're saying. It's because it's funny because Jay-Z, because Beyonce fans got mad at Jay-Z for the Grammys when he was pretty tame and just kind of called the Grammys out for doing exactly what they do.
Yeah.
Which is completely being racist every year. They were like, and Beyonce fans, black women were like, can you not embarrass her right now?
Right.
Like, she's just trying to sit there and enjoy her night. Yeah. She's won enough. We all know that the Taylor shit is bullshit. Like, but
yeah.
Can you not embarrass her with this right now? We have, because she is the same way. Very media savvy, does not talk ever, does not tweet, does not do anything.
Well, and it's going to be, now this is something that she's going to have to respond to. She's going to have to answer for in every fucking interview for the next 2 years. And it's just like, you have just burdened this person.
Yeah.
Who is, you know, your partner.
Yeah.
Well, Travis didn't, like you said, didn't score the big touchdown or anything.
Yeah.
But he had some nice plays. I got to think he was.
He did. He had a good game. He had
to be so fucking relieved, because at a point after Mahomes throws the pick, at this point, Travis Kelce has one tackle.
Yeah.
One confrontation with his coach that was physical, and one receiving yard. At that point, he had one catch for 1 yard and one tackle after the pick.
Yeah.
Like, it was not going well for him early in the third quarter.
And he pushed his old, nice walrus of a coach.
Who's so beloved.
Yeah, like,
so,
everybody loves Nuggies. That's
course,
the one person
the
I'm happy for on that
team. Even the Chiefs are like, but Andy Reid is
great.
Best.
Yeah. As famous as Travis has become in the last year, I also feel like everyone knows who Andy Reid is now. Like, I made something in one of my family text thread. I mentioned, like, and I was like, did you guys see the frozen mustache on the Chiefs coach? And my like sister, my dad, other people that aren't big sports fans were all like, yeah, we know who Andy Reid is. And I was like, well, I didn't know that you knew that. Now
did he hug Taylor after the game?
I don't know. You imagine getting a hug from Andy Reid?
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
forget it, bury me,
sleep. Oh, I want to.
What if he went in, if he went in for the hug and Taylor like walked away? That's an ick.
She would lose fat white middle America.
At that point, you
I would catch the ick majorly if she ever fucking snubbed Andy Reid like that. I don't even want to imagine it.
I literally am a fish with white spots all over my body because I have the ick.
If you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode and check out some bonus shows with the guys, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com /Wondery.
I went to a bar in Playa del Rey called Moe's Place. As Sean pointed out, the show's not doing as well, so it won't blow up.
And Disney's lawyers won't be alerted to their copyright infringement.
It's not Moe's Tavern. It's just Moe's Place.
All right, but he comes out dressed as what?
He does do that.
I haven't looked at that. I haven't gotten under the hood. You know, I have no idea.
Good chicken wings. I had potato skins as well. Potato skins pretty good. I found myself, I don't know what did it. I don't know what shifted in that moment. But as soon as the game started, I was really on team, like, I don't want anybody to win. And then I started being like, well, all right, Pat, if it's going to be a GOAT, let it be.
Really?
And then.
Yeah, I have a little bit of that where it's like, I guess I'm watching, like, greatness. Like, it's sort of, you know, interesting.
But I'm surprised as how anti-KC you'd been lately that shift happened.
That's the thing. You got to let me finish
it. Okay.
Because as soon as I saw Christian McCaffrey carry the ball the first couple of plays, I said, I want that guy to win.
Yeah, he was awesome. He's incredible.
Christian McCaffrey.
80 rushing, that's 80 my dude, receiving. Man. It felt bad because, like, on their big drive at the end, McCaffrey was just a one-man band getting him down the field. I know they have a good line, blah, blah, blah.
But, no, of course.
And then he got, like, gassed, and they had to put in Eli Mitchell in the red zone, and then their drive was just dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it really was a good demonstration. And like, again, like, my wife watching the game, who knows who he is and had read some of the stories leading up to it, but doesn't really watch the NFL much, was just like, holy shit. Every time she watches the game and they don't do, like, an end route and they, like, run into the pile, basically, she's like, why do they do that? Like, why do they run into the middle? Which I get. You just feel like, and it's like, part of it's you're wearing down their line or whatever, but she's like, they just run into a pile of people and fall. They only get 1 yard. And I never understand. I'm like, go to the outside where there's nobody. And then she's like watching him and going, I finally get it.
Because you can.
He's going into the middle, but then he's like, he's creating these little tiny holes and he's shifting and he's getting 6-7 yards every time. And it's like, oh, this is a truly special player who just fucking explodes off the screen when you're watching, even as a casual fan. It's
You gotta show her some classic Le'Veon Bell clips, man.
Yes. No, I will get a package together.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Juice Man too. Kyle Juice Check.
Oh yeah.
I thought you meant OJ.
I mean, that's shout out every episode.
Yeah, standing shout
That's
out.
That's a standing shout out.
Yeah, and an open invite for the Jews. If he ever does want to come guest on Foosballs, I know I'm not a host, but we would welcome him with open arms to just
for
talk all, you know.
He goes on Cameron and Mace's pot. He's on there a lot and is very funny every time.
What about Kyle Shanahan and the overtime rules and all that?
That's
the other story, I guess.
Ridiculous.
Did you know the overtime rules were different in the playoffs?
Here's what I'll know about
the shift.
I'll be transparent. I knew that there was a new overtime format that was only in place for the playoffs, but I did not know that that's exactly what it was.
I didn't know either. Like, when they elected to receive, now I'm not in the NFL, so I don't need to know. When they elected, I was like, yeah, of course. And I thought at the time that if they scored a touchdown, that would be the end of the game. I thought that. I didn't know until after. I didn't know until the next fucking day that was like a tactical error.
Well, the weirder thing was that if KC had not scored on that last play, you know, there was like no time left, but it would have just started another period. They wouldn't have.
That was Tony Romo explaining that.
He was like, "What?
It's just the first quarter, and I can feel everyone at home going, what are they doing?" I was like, "Yeah, I am. Like, why the fuck aren't they speeding up?" And it's like, oh, it's just the first quarter of overtime.
Why have a clock then?
In overtime in the Super Bowl, there should be no clock.
Yeah, just go until, I mean, honest to God.
Because there's no management of time.
Just do college football overtime for the love of
Starting on the 25?
Yeah. Equal opportunities.
Yeah, that's tough.
What's wrong?
Because it can't end in a tie.
And then I like the thing where college, after like two, it's like now you have to go for two to make it even more likely to end. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, so for those who don't know, Kansas City said after the game, like, we had talked about the new overtime rules and discussed what we were going to do and that we were going to defer so that we could see how the other teams... The idea being,
so
like...
we would know what we need.
You know, if you need a field... Like, because, you know, if they picked up a fourth down, but if they had been, you know, going... you know, if they were going first, they might have just kicked the field goal or whatever, whatever.
Yes.
So you know what you need. And then San Francisco came out after the game and was like, we had no fuck. It was
we didn't know they changed the rules. Yeah.
Someone posted the Trump thing of like, you're telling me this for the first time. This is the first time hearing,
I'm just hearing this.
A lot of them,
time.
I forget who said that he like looked up.
Hold me closer, tiny dancer.
He looked up and saw the overtime rules on the Jumbotron for the first time. These are the Niners players. So.
Yeah, it was.
What were the rules? So I'm confused.
So normally, if you score a TD on that first drive, game over.
Well,
so
that,
you
they
want
changed
the ball.
That though. They changed that though, right?
But yeah, that's
for the
new,
whole season.
No, in the regular season, it was still if you score. It used to just be
if
any
you,
score.
If
ended
you receive
it.
An oh, okay. overtime and you score a touchdown, then you win the game. The game is over
so
in the regular
we were,
season, right?
When we were yeah. kids. Even if you scored a field goal, it was
but
over.
But that changed.
And then
that
recently,
changed 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago or so, they made it so that you had to score a touchdown. If you kicked the field goal, the other team had a chance to respond. And then it became, if they kicked the field goal too, it became sudden death.
Yeah.
But now, in the playoffs only, both teams, because of the Bills-Chiefs 13-second games a few years ago, because the Bills whined so much, it's like, even if the first team scores a touchdown, the other team gets a chance to score a touchdown too. And I also read that the Chiefs' plan, if the Niners had scored seven,
to go for
and
two.
And the Chiefs scored, they were going to go for two, which I'm a little bit like, oh, fuck, that would have been awesome.
Whoever the player was that they interviewed, he was like, yeah, we had discussed that during the week that we were going to.
Drew Tranquil.
We were going to defer, and that if we got the ball back, that we would go for two. Or if we scored a touchdown, we would go for two. And I was like, oh, yeah. No, that, I wish, because I had money on the Chiefs, so I was like, I kind of hope they don't score a touchdown. Yeah. But now I'm like, oh, I wish they scored a fucking touchdown because it would have been so exciting.
Would have been the biggest single 2-yard play in the history of the sport. I mean, the other real bummer from the Chiefs' point of view, to bring it down a little here.
Uh-oh.
Poor Dre Greenlaw, man.
Well, I said this on...
Did you see what happened to him?
Was that the 49ers player that injured himself running on the field?
Tore his Achilles, it looks like.
Yeah, tore his Achilles.
And it wasn't like he was doing anything.
No, he just was jumping up and down. Then he took off and just went, oh.
Yeah, he was like,
that
crazy.
Fucking sucks.
That sucks ass.
Probably going to miss
not
all
hoping for
year.
Him for an injury.
No, you weren't. Were you wishing?
No, I wasn't wishing, hoping. I was praying.
Those non-contact injuries do always feel like, I mean, the timing obviously is horrible, but it's like, I guess that's inevitable. Like, I guess that's going to happen. Like, when somebody like blows their ACL or tears their Achilles, it's like, well, something is loose or
yeah,
like
obviously
worn.
Something was in there. Jar was loosened.
Yeah.
But I talked about this on Flagrant once, but I was watching with my son and that was all he wanted to talk about for the entire game. And he just kept asking me like, what happened to that guy? Why is he hurt? Is he okay? And I eventually was like, after halftime, I was like, I guess he's back on the field now. Like, I just had to be like, he's playing again. They went, because he was like, he's going to the hospital. I was like, hey, he's going to have, a doctor's going to look at him. You know, he's hurt. And he was like, well, is he going to be able to play? It's like all he could think about.
Because he has a child's innocence and he knows how fucking, that's born into us. You don't need to know the context to understand how much it sucks to tear your ACL jogging onto the field in the Super Bowl.
Who had Debo had like a hamstring thing, but then came back.
Yeah, Kittle. Right? Kittle was out like one play and the dude who was in for him made a big boneheaded play. I think it was a penalty or something. And I was like, that they really didn't catch any breaks either. Like,
there's a, this is such a weird tangent, but I will mention it because it is on my mind all the time when I watch these big games. There's this guy called Dr. Sarno. Have you heard about him ever?
He
wrote
familiar.
This book called Healing Back Pain and he's written multiple books especially, I feel like in writers' rooms, you'll encounter a lot of people who are like, had like crippling back pain and was like on the brink of surgery.
And it's all about
I
stress
discovered these
and
like mind body connection things. And he's just like, he's a medical doctor who was like, there is a link between your emotional stress and your physical pain, especially people who suffer from chronic pain. And one of the things he talks about in the book, and he's like, notice the player, like the prime athlete who's in like the best shape of their life, who's at like peak physical condition all season, who at the absolute biggest, most crucial moment of the season
has an injury like a hamstring pull. And there, he's like, see how often it happens. And especially if you root for like Chris Paul during the fucking Clippers season, you're like,
oh my God.
He's like, that is mental and emotional stress manifesting physically for these people. Because you think about a hamstring pull and you're like, they didn't forget to stretch.
Yeah.
They didn't stop working out.
Yeah.
Like your fucking body is rebelling against you at the moment that you need it most because you're putting too much pressure. And I do. There are people who take it to a huge extreme in terms of like whatever, not believing in certain aspects of medicine. But I do think like that was something that so resonated with me of like you do see it a lot. And like obviously you see injuries in every football game too, but it does feel exacerbated that like a star will have something happen in a big moment where it's just like, oh yeah, it feels like it's not just physical. It's like the fucking lights are too bright. The pressure's too much.
Speaking of which, some breaking news here, which is unfortunate. Not football, but basketball.
Kawhi, I think it's just because he's playing. Is it just because he's going to play in the All-Star game?
Like? I don't think he is. Left adductor strain, which is, if it's a grade two, that's like 3 to 6 weeks. Oof. If it's a grade two, that's like 10 weeks. Get all that bullshit out of your body now.
Yeah,
because we got bigger
fish
to fry at the end of the year.
If he can come back feeling confident for the playoffs, and then you know, go ahead and take a nice break.
Yeah, take.
I would like to believe. I don't think this is the case, but I'd like to believe in a conspiracy theory where this was like a scheduled injury report.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to believe that it was just because he wanted to play in the All-Star game and he was taking a day off.
But. Yeah.
I don't know. Well. This Super Bowl, the resident Chiefs fan is not here to talk about it. That is a bummer.
And we're putting a moratorium on it. We look forward on the podcast, not backwards.
I listened to the show, and he was talking about this is not a team that's going to win the Super Bowl. Around week, yes.
In the middle of the season, they didn't look like it.
Yeah,
did not look
like it. He was just like, look, this is not, well, I've had a great, you know, a great time rooting for the Chiefs, and I'm glad Mahomes is still on the team. This is not a team that's going to win the Super Bowl. And he was fucking wrong.
He was wrong.
They just did.
And then, it was around that time that Taylor showed up, wasn't it? She wasn't there for the whole season.
No.
Maybe a little earlier than that, but
she wasn't there for the whole season.
She probably had a better winning percentage once she showed up. She went to a lot of football games this year.
She did.
It's
good
for
her.
Yeah. I mean, she flew back from Tokyo.
She got Ice Spice.
Yeah, she had Ice Spice there. She had Blake Lively there.
Lana Del Rey.
Lana Del Rey was in there too?
I think so. I think someone said
Lana
Del
Rey in the same room. Hello, Carl Tarts. Fantasy.
So were Beyonce and Jay-Z and the old Jack from Twitter, were they in a different booth?
They were in a different box. LeBron had his own box. I think Leo DiCaprio was there in a different box. A lot of celebrities there. A lot of celebs.
Mm-hmm. Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum was there. Goldblum.
And Leo's new girlfriend was there, but she was watching the Nickelodeon feed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about the halftime show. Were you guys as excited as I was? Because I was going nuts. That was a very fun halftime show. Usher really put on a great show.
It was great. You know, I often have a feeling, and I don't know if it's by design, that the very beginning of the halftime show, like, I didn't feel like his very first song was like, it didn't get me hyped immediately.
Did you know it, though?
Not really.
It was one of the famous ones.
It was a hit. Caught Up was a
Caught Up.
I recognized the melody a little, but it wasn't a song that I had listened to a lot.
It is not the song that I bet on. He did do the song that I bet on him playing.
Of course he did.
OMG.
I thought we bet on DJ Got Us Falling in Love.
Not for the first thing, did we?
Oh.
Was that it? Or did we do Oh My God?
I think so. I think it was DJ.
Was it DJ Got Us Falling in Love? He did that one too.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
But in my memory, I think they do start slow. A lot of these where they go like, I'm not going to open with like one of my like three biggest songs ever. I kind of wish they would because it would have gotten me so immediately. But I was like, I was excited for the show. Then I was am I going to be a little bit disappointed? And I was kind of, had so much regret about not seeing him in Vegas because everyone said that show was amazing. And then I was kind of watching going like, I guess I don't regret it that much. Maybe I'm not as
as big a fan, but then it took off. Like, then it turned a corner. It was like, this fucking rocks.
I feel like once the guests started coming, once Alicia Keys found it after those first two wonky notes, and then she,
but that's fixed on an NFL page. Did you see that?
Did they?
On the NFL YouTube, when you rewatch it, it's her, she
it's
does not
clear.
Netflix.
Like, you know, that happens. You're just joining in cold, but like. Once then she came in, and then later when Lil Jon and Luda came in, I was like, okay, now we're really popping.
Did you think that Will.i.am was Kanye? Because I did.
No, I did the thing everyone else thought.
I didn't know
who
it was immediately. Yeah. I was like, wait, who is? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I thought the little guy that everyone thought, who's the guy that dressed like a little...
Oh, Jermaine Dupri was dressed like the berries and cream lever guy?
Well, everyone thought he looked... I heard a lot of Ozempic CeeLo Green jokes.
Yeah. He looked at... I was like, what is this outfit that he's wearing? He was wearing a... Tom Thumb, like, short, like...
It was very Pugsley Adams.
Yeah.
It's giving Pugsley.
It's Jermaine Dupri. I bet he was like, oh, like, it probably was something like super designer.
Yeah. That, it cost $1,000 per square inch.
But I really enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of Caught Up. I think it was a dope song that to come out. I wasn't expecting it. I was like, damn, he opened with Caught Up? Is this how the show in Vegas opened? Because I also missed it. And he is an artist. I'm not a concert goer because I don't really have artists that I'm like, I need to see this person in concert. Like, I got friends that'll go to concerts and they only like two of the artist's songs. And I'm like,
yeah, I had a period of my life where I would go to a lot of concerts. I don't anymore. Although I will say, going to a Vegas concert is really nice for somebody who's not a concert goer because it's so organized. Like, they start on time, they end on time. Like, the set list is kind of permanent. It's extremely controlled in a way that, and you know, you eat dinner, whatever, 20 feet away and you just walk over. Like, it's...
Was he playing the Sphere?
No, he was
No. He was residency at one of the
Strip Hotel,
Caesars or whatever. I mean, I just went to Adele.
Oh.
At
MGM Grand.
At Caesars. He was at the MGM Grand. But I also did see Elton John when he was playing in Vegas for a long time.
That's probably
that
great.
Was nice. It was really fun. I was like, oh yeah, I'm, you know,
not MGM Grand, the one that took over for the Monte Carlo. When it used to be Monte Carlo, it's now an MGM property.
The Wynn?
No,
I don't know enough about Vegas.
I'll tell you,
the Mirage.
I should know this. Not the Mirage.
I saw Bob Dylan
next door to the Mirage.
I saw Bob Dylan a few years ago.
Next door to the Mirage. Oh, did you?
He is prompt. I'll say that. It started on time, and it was a tight 90 minutes.
Yeah,
Park MGM is what it's called.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. There's at least one other show. Oh, well, I took my wife to Adele for her birthday this year, but I had taken her to Britney Spears, 7 or 8 years ago, too. And it was like, the shows are, it's a finely tuned machine.
Yeah.
It's not like going to a concert where there's two different openers and you don't know who it's going to be and you don't know when the band's really going to go on and you only know some of their songs and the set list changes every show.
Is she a big Britney Spears head?
She's a woman of a certain age.
I don't know. For whatever reason, I feel like Adele, I was like, that checks out. And Britney Spears surprised me a little.
Yeah, we went for her 30th. And her two best friends from New York came out.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Sean.
I don't know.
I watched the Super Bowl with my family in Chicago, and when the commercials were playing, the Sonic movie one came up, and I was like, oh, that's Adam Pally. He's done Hollywood Handbook before. And then a Pizza Hut one came up, and I was like, that's Ego. She did Hollywood Handbook too. And the next one, it was like, Justin Hartley in a new CBS commercial. My dad goes, that's Justin Hartley. That's my best friend. I call him every day.
Got your ass.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Got your ass. Look, it's hard not to, when you go back to the Midwest, talk
flex
about all the people you know in commercials.
Yeah,
you don't even be flexing, though. You just be like, oh, I'm happy to see that person on TV too. And everybody's like, shut up.
Oh, man.
You don't know them.
Yeah. I got shut down hard.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Big Shot.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you're so special.
I am special, Dad. Matter of fact, get up and let me beat your ass, Dad. Fuck you, Dad. You know what? I'm sick of this shit, Dad. And then you beat his ass, Kevin.
Yeah, you know what? At your wedding, I'm going to fight your dad. You're not impressed with Hollywood Handbook, guess? I'm not impressed with you, Bartelt Insurance. You're going to need that insurance when I'm finished with you.
He got so offended by the Kelce push of Andy Reid. He was like, oh, if that's me, I'm going to the locker room and saying, don't you ever do that again. And whoa, okay.
Hey, well, let's not fly off the handle. Everybody, look, obviously tempers are flaring, okay? Everybody's running a little hot.
Well, let's have a proportionate response.
Let's take it easy, okay?
Let's not say things that we can't take back.
Maybe water for a little bit, Dad. We have a couple glasses of water.
Yeah, we got. You tried the Heineken Zero, Mr. Bartelt?
Yeah.
It actually tastes pretty much like Heineken.
Yeah, it's almost the same. The flavor, so unless what you're looking for is this effect, which I don't think anyone would be desirous of.
Should we get the kids out of the room? Should we get the kids in the downstairs then, if you're going to be like this? Kevin's dad is a raging drunk.
I do like the takes too, and of course, but where it's like, if you shoved your supervisor in the middle of a presentation, most of corporate America would not tolerate that. It's like, yeah, well,
it's not corporate America.
It's different.
Yeah,
it is different. I think it's bad too.
It was like, you know, that's normally something that I would defend. If it was Derek Carr and Dennis Allen, I would just say he should have power drived him. But I did look at this. It's not something I'm going to like roast to hell either, like, because I don't like the team, but I definitely was like, that was weird.
Look, they had lost.
How do you push that old man?
I think if they had lost, we'd be looking at it a lot differently.
What was he saying? Do you know what he was saying? Is he was saying, keep me on the field?
He was off the field on the play where Pacheco fumbled. And I think in his mind, I don't know, maybe the guy who was in for him missed the block or something.
Yeah, it was. Noah Gray subbed in for him and missed the block.
Yeah.
And he was like, keep me on the fucking field. It's the Super Bowl. But it's like, you don't have to touch him.
Yeah, you don't have to hit it. That was a little wild. Either way, we'll probably get into this more next week. Our overall feelings of this year's NFL season. At first, I was like, there's a lot of fun parody, and we got some fun performances from some rookies and young guys. But it ended anticlimactically.
It was a little like, it was like kind of like I made me think of like the third season of Succession, where I was like, that was by all accounts a really good ending, but it's just like kind of the same ending we've been seeing a few times in a row. Like once again, like, Logan got the last laugh. Like, so Logan Roy, the Chiefs are the Logan Roy, and maybe next year, early in the season, like in season 4 of Succession.
I don't want to spoil it for me. I ain't seen the show.
But let's just say,
it's really good, Carl.
I'm going to watch it. Especially now that I'm co-workers with J. Smith Cameron.
Yeah, of course.
You should definitely watch it.
I'm going to watch it. Just
honestly,
for her.
Excellent.
You could learn something about how to have good sexual chemistry with her.
Yeah. I'm going to watch that, and I'm going to watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I got two shows that I got to watch. And now that I'm trying to stay home during the week, now that I'm not trying to go out during the week, I'm going to stay home and do that. Huh?
That's a new thing?
Staying home.
New thing for me. Trying to stay home during the week. Going crazy on the weekends.
Oh, yeah.
We're trying to stay home during the week. I'll tell you why when we get done here.
I stay home a lot, and I think we can all agree I'm doing pretty well.
You are doing pretty well. Thank you for coming here today.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Sean.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm so happy I was finally able to do it. Yeah, well, now, I was working, but now I'm not.
We need to have it on again so we can talk about the Foosballs Fantasy League and your relatively solid performance there.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got to talk about that. We should have you and Hayes on, or one of each of you on for the... We're going to do all the teams in the offseason. We're going to have a fan come on for every team. So you come on, do the Patriots episode.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's talk about it. Well, especially like when we see whoever gets drafted or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe one of you guys can do the Patriots and one of you can cover like the Jags or one of those teams with no fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do we know a Jags fan? The character from The Good Place? have?
We know a Jags fan, but he can't come on the podcast.
I know. I know a huge Chargers fan.
What?
I don't know if you have that covered, but I know a guy who's a really, really true diehard, like, which I don't think you meet a lot of.
I don't know.
Well, we got Halpern, who is a... I don't know if
he's... Renee.
Renee Goubet, but he's out of town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like him.
Yeah, Carl's kind of a secondary Chargers fan.
Yeah.
All right.
I kind of like them too.
Well, we can do the programming stuff off air.
Yeah.
This is not okay, for well, if you don't want to talk about it anymore. Then,
no, I started it, to be clear. I'm burning myself here.
Is your boss a Dolphins fan too? Or is he just a Heat?
He's a much bigger basketball fan. Yeah. I mean, that's the same with both the guys, him and Baina, who came on as like Heat fans. I think it's hard to be a Dolphins fan.
Yeah.
And I think probably like have moved away from football at all. It is funny when somebody kind of is on their high horse about like, oh, I don't watch the NFL, like all the concussions and everything, I can't anymore. But then you realize that they had a favorite team that is like just a perennial underperformer who's like super disappointing. And it's just like, yeah, well, it's easy for you to watch. Hey, you know what? Fucking 6 years from now, maybe I won't be watching the NFL either because the Patriots are falling apart.
There was a lot like the same vibes as some people who were really fucking on strike last year. And it's like, from what?
Yeah. A lot of people walking the picket lines. Yeah,
what were you doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I wasn't gung ho about it. I also didn't have a job when it started, but like.
Shout out to those people who walked the picket lines, so I didn't have to.
Yeah.
I walked the picket lines, but yes, it is true that for some people, being on strike was a promotion.
Was an identity, was a personality.
I still see bumper stickers, like, driving them. In solidarity. I go, you can take that off. We're back to work.
Yeah, we got a deal.
Either way, we'll see you next time right here on Foosballs.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.